To the Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, The Chosen, as we pick up in Acts chapter 22, verse 14. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Paul saw Jesus there on the road to Damascus. Paul, as he is giving the list of those who had seen the resurrected Christ, talks about his appearance to Mary, then to the disciples, then to over 500 people at one time, and then Paul said, and finally, unto me as one born out of due season. And when he is giving his proof for apostleships, or for the right of being called an apostle, he said, have I not seen the risen Lord? Ananias said, God has chosen you. When Paul is writing his letter to the Ephesians, and he begins in chapter 1 after his opening greeting, he begins saying, thanks be unto God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ in heavenly places. The top of the list of Paul's thanksgiving list to God for the wonderful things that God had done, for all of the spiritual blessings he had received, the very top of the list, Paul put, having been chosen in him before the foundations of the world. That headed the list of Paul's thanksgiving and probably should be the head of all of our list if we really understand what it means to be chosen of God. Now here Ananias is declaring this to Paul. God chose you, Paul. Jesus said to his disciples, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. So Paul writing to the saints declares that we've been chosen in him before the foundations of the world. You see, if the Lord didn't choose me, then everything else would be totally wasted. How grateful I am that God chose me. The God of our fathers has chosen you, that you should know his will and see that just one, and should hear the voice of his mouth. So Paul, there on the road, God chose him. And Paul realized the grace of God in choosing him, because when Paul was chosen, he was breathing out murders, threats against the church. He was highly incensed against Christianity, against Jesus Christ. And yet the Lord chose him, that he should not only see Jesus, but that he should hear his voice. And you shall be his witness unto all men of what you have seen and heard. And now why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So, Paul, to these Jews, is recounting to them his own personal experience of meeting the risen Christ. I know the way you're thinking. I understand your attitudes. I was where you are. I also persecuted the church, putting to death those that walked in this way. And I was on my way to Damascus to imprison those who called upon the name of the Lord when the Lord apprehended me. So it came to pass that when I came again to Jerusalem, now it sounded like from the text here that Paul returned immediately to Jerusalem from Damascus, but that was not so. He stayed in Damascus for a period of time, short period of time, but then he went out into the deserts. He went out to Arabia, and there he spent close to 3 years as God revealed to Paul during that period God's will for Paul's life, as God corrected his whole understanding of the Old Testament scriptures. Paul returned from Arabia to Damascus, began to preach Christ boldly in the synagogues, got the Jews all upset, who decided to kill him. So his friends let him down over the wall in a basket so he could escape from Damascus, because the Jews were waiting at the gate of the city to ambush him when he went to leave. And so he came down to Jerusalem, but that was some 3 years later, but Luke passes it all over, leaves a lot of the history absent, and perhaps Paul did in his witness here. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. Now, there are other places where a trance-like state is mentioned by those in prayer. And it was in this state that they received visions, and that they received really the voice of the Lord speaking to their hearts. I understand what a trance is by definition. To my knowledge, I have never been in a trance. That's not to say that I am opposed to being in a trance. I'm open to anything God wants to do in any way God wants to speak to me. And if God would want to put me in a trance and show me a vision or speak to me in a trance, I think that would be absolutely exciting. And the Lord knows I'm open to that if that's what He wants. However, the Lord does speak to me quite often. He speaks to me through His Word. And I get just blessed beyond measure as God speaks to me right out of His Word. Now, again, I'm not opposed to visions, dreams, or trances. I am really open to them, and I would frankly admit that I would enjoy such an experience. I would find it quite exciting indeed. Lord, you heard that now. But as yet, I have not experienced it. But that's not to say that a person can't experience it or any experience would be invalid. I do not believe that. However, any experience that I have must be subservient to the Word of God. Paul said, if I or an angel from heaven preach unto you any other gospel than that which you have already received, let him be anathema, let him be accursed. You know, I mentioned a while back about some guy that used to send out these things on visions, where he has this packet of all of these amazing visions and revelations that God has given him. This guy has these for sale, $5.95 special or a $9.95 pack or $14.95 for the whole caboodle. He built a million-dollar church in Phoenix off of the gullible people who sent him for these little vision packets. But would you believe this last week, I got a card from the guy and he's still in business? I haven't heard from him for 14 years. But Neil Frisbee is still getting visions. A very interesting and exciting things. And they're still packed in $5.95, $9.95, and $14.95 packages. Learn what God, you know, it's better than the Kiplinger letter. Cheaper. Years ago, when I was getting almost on a weekly basis these little advertising flyers of the man's visions, I would look at them and then throw them away. But one day, as I was on my way to a luncheon appointment, running a little late, I stopped by the church. And that was the first little church over on Church Street in Costa Mesa, where we had a box out there. And I stopped by and pulled the mail out of the box and started off. And here was one of these Neil Frisbee flyers. And so I wadded the thing up and tossed it aside. And then I stopped and I said, "Lord, now I want to be open to you. You know, I don't want to have a closed mind to everything. I hate being a cynic. Though I have to admit that I am cynical about anybody who packages visions and sells them. But Lord, if this man has something to say that I should know or hear, hey, I'll venture for the $5.95 pack. I mean, that's not too much. I can spring for that." And the Lord spoke to my heart, not in a trance, just straight. Haven't had a trance yet. He spoke to my heart his word, Jeremiah. "If a prophet hath a dream, let him tell his dream. But he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. For what is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord?" You know, I got so excited when the Lord spoke to me that scripture, I pulled off the road because it was dangerous to drive in that condition. And it was just a time of just rejoicing in the fact that God has given me his word. And all that we need for life and for godliness is right here, according to Peter. So any vision or dream or trance experience that I may have, and if I should come to you next Sunday night and say, "Folks, let me tell you, it happened this last week. It happened. Went home Sunday night, and as I lay down, I went into a trance. And oh, all these colors began to, you know, merge. And then I began to see, you know, and I began to reveal to you some dream or trance or vision that I had. If it was not in complete keeping with the word of God, then I should be accursed. Secondly, if you would get more excited about that than you do the word of God, then there's something wrong with your experience. Because I'm giving you chaff. This is the wheat. Did you get that? If a prophet dreams a dream, let him tell his dream, but he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Don't set aside the wheat for chaff. What can you say about chaff? Well, have you ever tried to swallow it? I'm a fresh wheat fan. When I was a little kid, we had chickens. And I'd go out to the chicken feed and I'd pick out the wheat because I found that we could chew the wheat for a while and it turned into a gum. And so I was always chewing wheat gum when I was a kid. And sometimes as I was pulling out the wheat to chew it into a gum, you get some chaff with it, some of that little hull. But if you try to swallow that little hull, it always sticks someplace in your throat. And you almost gag trying to get it back up. It's just hard to swallow. So what is the chaff to the wheat? Well, the chaff is hard to swallow. So I saw him saying unto me, now he's in the trance. He's gone back and he's in the temple and he's gone into this trance and the Lord appeared to Paul again. And he said, "Make haste and get quickly out of Jerusalem. For they will not receive your testimony concerning me." Now, Paul had gone down to really lay the witness on these guys Because, you know, it was 3 years ago that he left to imprison all the Christians, and now he's back, and man, he's really souped up to really, you know, fully charged to lay the witness of Christ on him. And the Lord's saying, hey, get out of here. They're not going to listen to your testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on you. Lord, you're mistaken. These guys know how zealous I was against you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death. In other words, I voted for his death, which shows that Paul was a member of the Sanhedrin, that council of religious leaders. I was consenting, I was voting for his death, and I kept the raiment of those that were killing him. God, they know me. They know how I persecuted the church. Surely, Lord, they will believe me. And so here is Paul arguing with the Lord. Always a mistake. Because as I said this morning, anytime you find yourself arguing with the Lord, just know you are wrong. The Lord's always right. And yet there are times I find myself arguing with the Lord. I'm trying to persuade the Lord to see it my way. Lord, can't you see, you know, this is a natural, Lord. But whenever you argue with the Lord, you're wrong. So Paul found himself in that totally inconsistent position of arguing with the Lord, because if he's the Lord, really there's no argument. You just do what he says, if he is truly the Lord. And he said unto me, depart. Didn't argue with Paul, he just said, get out. For I will send you far hence unto the Gentiles. And that word was like waving a red flag before a bull. As far as the Jews were concerned, when that word Gentiles was mentioned, it was lighting the match to the gasoline. Whoop, the immediate explosion. And they gave Paul audience up unto this word. And the moment he said Gentiles, they began to scream. Away with such a fellow from the earth. It isn't fit that he should live. And they took off their clothes and began to wave them in the air and throwing dirt into the air. I mean, just really kicking up dirt, waving their clothes, and this big commotion. And the chief captain commanded Paul to be brought into the castle. And he ordered that he should be examined by scourging, that they might understand why the people got so excited. What did he say? He was talking in Hebrew. The captain didn't understand Hebrew. All he saw is Paul's talking away. Everybody's listening intently until all of a sudden everybody starts to scream. They start taking off their clothes and waving them and throwing dirt in the air and trying to surge towards Paul to get him. And so he takes him in. He says, scourge him. Find out what he said. Scourging was a method of inquisition. It was what used to be called the third degree. Now the prisoner has so many rights that if the officer doesn't say please, the judge will let him off. But in those days, the Roman government would scourge a prisoner, which was a method of eliciting by torture the confessions from a prisoner. Most generally, they would tie his hands with thongs, the leather thongs, and then they would tie him to this post. They called it the whipping post, where his back was in a bent over position, totally exposed. They would then take a whip called the cat of nine tails that had these leather straps with the little bits of broken glass and lead embedded in it that were designed to rip the flesh off of the body when the whip was laid down hard upon the body. Now, they would tie the prisoner in this position, exposed back, and then the fellow would begin to lay the lashes on, and standing there would be a scribe, a court reporter, who would then record every confession of the prisoner. And after each stripe, the prisoner would then cry out a confession. They would write it down, then they'd lay another stripe on, and he'd cry out something else that he had done. And as long as the prisoner cooperated and would cry out his confessions, they'd lay it on a little easier until they had elicited from him a full confession to everything. And then they would just sort of lay it across his back until he had received 39 stripes. Quite often, the prisoners died in this inquisition. It was very painful, and it did cause a tremendous loss of blood. Now, if a prisoner would refuse to confess to a crime, then the executioner would lay the stripe on heavier and heavier and heavier until he would be forced in agony to cry out his crime.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Acts on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Acts 22. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
And now may the Lord help you to assimilate that which we have studied, and may He bring to your remembrance those things which He has commanded. And may you be enriched in the knowledge of God and His will and His plan for your life. May the Lord be with you to bless you, guide you, and may you be kept by that power of God through faith and trust in Him. In Jesus' name.
The Word for Today is excited to share a truly inspiring book with you. Harvest. This powerful story takes you on a journey through the incredible beginnings of Calvary Chapel Ministries. In Harvest, you'll learn how God led Pastor Chuck Smith and his family through over 17 years of challenges, preparing them for a ministry that would ultimately touch the lives of thousands. You'll also read about Raul Reese, who was just moments away from making a life-altering decision when a message from Chuck Smith on TV stopped him in his tracks and gave him new hope. Filled with real-life testimonies and valuable insights on evangelism, discipleship, and trusting in God's Word, this book is one you won't want to miss. Order Harvest today at twft.com or by calling 1-800-272-9673. Get your copy now and be encouraged by the amazing stories of faith. I'm your host, Kathy Parrish. Thanks for listening.
Church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way it used to be.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.